Hey, folks, thanks for tuning back in to the CBSSports.com College Football Podcast. I am Chip Patterson, and joining me today on the podcast is Matt Hinton. Matt and I are going to take a look at some of the schools that don't get as much attention on the podcast. Matt, that's a little bit of my fault, but thank you for joining me here. We're going to talk some of the non-BCS conference teams. Matt, at Sunday Morning Quarterback, you actually run Mid-Major Monday, right?
Yeah, that's right. I try to. That may be the favorite thing that I write all week when I'm able to get to it, is to give a little attention to some of the schools that aren't on TV and a little off the radar every week.
Yeah, and some of these teams might possibly be those teams that are creeping up and could be BCS busters. This particular season, you don't have necessarily those one or two teams, at least in my opinion, through 4 weeks of play that 100% look like they're going to do it, but we're at least going to go through, and Matt and I are going to break down the top 10 teams, sort of like a non-BCS power rankings, or, you know, a mid-major power rankings. And this is actually a feature that Matt has on Sunday Morning Quarterback, and I've made my own list as well, just so that we can do a little bit of comparison. And so let's start right at number one. This is one of the few places where we definitely differentiate, but obviously got the same idea. Number one, Matt has Louisiana Tech. At number two, he's got Ohio. I've got them flip-flopped, Ohio at one, Louisiana Tech at two. Matt, I think arguably they're interchangeable, but what do you like about either team, and which of the two do you think has the best chance to run the table and go undefeated?
Well, I think Louisiana Tech has, Louisiana Tech won the WAC last year and finished really strong. I think they've definitely improved. They've had an upward trajectory since Sonny Dykes took over as the head coach there. They crushed Illinois on Saturday, 52-24. I mean, they were slight underdogs in that game. Louisiana Tech blew Illinois out. You know, if Illinois and Penn State are pretty equal teams, which I think they are in the Big Ten, you know, Ohio took care of Penn State, and Ohio's had an upward trajectory too. They almost won the MAC last year. They're 4-0. And I think if you look at the schedules, I think the rest of the way, Ohio probably has an easier road, because Louisiana Tech has to play Virginia this week, and then they have Texas A&M in the game. That game got canceled from the beginning of the year because of a hurricane. So they still have to play Texas A&M coming up. So Ohio doesn't have any game like that. Ohio, I think, is just getting into the MAC schedule and is probably going to have their run of it. I mean, they'll be favored to win every game, certainly, which Louisiana Tech at least will not be favored to beat Texas A&M.
I remember just after the game was canceled that there was the game does not necessarily have to be played. Has there been a date for the reschedule been set?
Yeah, I think it's on the schedule. I don't have it in front of me, but I'm positive that that game has been put back on the schedule. I think that they both had the same open date. It's in, I think it may be next week. Louisiana Tech plays Virginia this week, and then I believe Texas A&M after that.
Yes, Saturday, October 13th. Yeah, it has been rescheduled. Okay, because I was going to say, because sometimes, you know, those games, especially the non-conference early season ones, sometimes they won't get rescheduled, and in this case, that would be a way that the Bulldogs could wind up possibly also running the table. Obviously, Texas A&M, Utah State, San Jose State at the end of the season, they do, as you said, have a tougher road. What do you think about Tevin King? He is the WAC's leading rusher as far as yards, as far as touchdowns. He goes down, but Kenneth Dixon, who had been splitting some of the carries, takes over for the full load. Louisiana Tech has the number three scoring offense in the country. They put up over 50 points in each of their first three games, which is something that, you know, a team like Florida State also does, but maybe Tech doesn't get as much credit for it. Do you think that the Bulldogs are going to be hurt at all? Are they going to be hurt by King's injury to the point where it changes the way they turn out, or do you think they're going to be able to keep it going with Cameron and Dixon in the backfield?
Well, you know, I can't parse Louisiana Tech's individual running backs, but I do know that's really a passing offense. I mean, Sonny Dykes was at Texas Tech under Mike Leach. He really comes up in the air raid, and that's really what they do. I think that's they want to throw it around. They've got a good quarterback in Cameron. So I think that more than likely the running back there is probably more likely to be interchangeable, even if he's not. And they have been pretty balanced, but I think that they prefer to throw it around in the first place. I mean, I think that that's what they're going to do. So I don't think that losing the running back, I don't think losing anybody on that offense except Colby Cameron, the quarterback, is really going to affect them.
Moving on in the mid-major power rankings or rankings that you've got. You got number 3 and 4, Boise State at 3, fresh off of a 7-6 win over BYU that featured 0 offensive touchdowns. Big defensive tackle Mike Atkinson picks off a pass and runs it to the house for the only touchdown of the game for Boise State. You've also got Nevada in there at number 4. Both teams are going to be competing for a Mountain West title. Both teams already have a loss, which means they are likely not going to be BCS busters. But how do you see those two shaking it out? Obviously, they'll play each other, but who would you give the edge to based on what you've seen?
Well, they play each other last game of the year, December 1st. It's at Nevada. I haven't seen Nevada. I know that their one loss is by 1 point. To South Florida. They gave up a couple of long touchdown passes at the end of that game. I have seen Boise State, though, twice, against Michigan State and then against BYU last week. And the offense is just nowhere near what that offense has been in the past, which it shouldn't be because they're replacing everybody. I mean, I think maybe 2 starters are back on that offense. They have 4 new linemen. Kellen Moore, obviously, is not there anymore. They're replacing the running back, Doug Martin, who's very good. I mean, that's an entirely different cast that they have there all at once. And Boise has always been good on offense, so they've always been able to plug in new guys. I mean, it's not like they were nobody before Kellen Moore came along. I mean, that program has been very successful and successful on offense specifically for, you know, a decade or longer. I mean, they've consistently had prolific quarterbacks there. I mean, you can go back to Bart Hendricks and Ryan Dinwiddie and Jared Zabransky before Kellen Moore. So Joe Southwick, you know, has not shown any of that. I mean, they really struggled against BYU. Their game against BYU was the lowest scoring game, even if you include just the defensive touchdown. The offense didn't score at all, despite getting 5 turnovers. That was the lowest scoring game and the lowest gaining game in terms of total yards at home in more than 10 years. I mean, since they've moved up to more than 15 years, and since they've moved up to 1A to the FBS, I mean, that was the worst offensive game that they've had statistically at home. That's just a very different team. I mean, I think it's easy to keep them up high in the polls. I think they're still ranked in both of the polls just because they've been so successful the last 4 years. And it wouldn't surprise me if they lost a game between now and Nevada. I mean, they really don't play anybody who should beat them. And really that game in Reno, the Mountain West should come down to that game. And probably if it does, I at this point I would probably favor Nevada just because they seem to be rolling on offense, and Nevada has been pretty consistently good on offense the last few years, and they seem to be a little bit more on track. By that time, though, you know, Boise State may be on track too.
Yeah, I did get to watch Nevada pretty closely in the South Florida game, in which they really dominated for most of the game. It was a huge comeback by South Florida late, and really just a lot. There were a lot of, you know, BJ Daniels just chuck it up there type games. I believe that was when Andre Davis had 151 yards receiving, which was it was the biggest comeback in school history and maybe close to a single-game school record for them. Nevada really owned that game, and I've been impressed by Cody Fajardo. He's been able to step right in and take another step forward from where he was last year as far as coming in and filling in for Colin Kaepernick. I think he's gotten used to that pistol offense. He gets a lot of help from Stephon Jefferson in the backfield. And they're just, I mean, like you said, they're rolling. They're doing a lot of good things. I think that one of the problems with Boise State, it's not as much Joe Southwick as much as it is we're doing our third offensive coordinator in 3 years. And Chris Peterson gets a lot of credit, and I think their top 25 ranking is a lot of a respect issue. But you lose Brian Harsin, you promote Brett Pease. You lose Brett Pease, and now all of a sudden, at some point, it's going to be difficult to expect the exact same results when you've had so much turnover, because – right now you basically have the second selection from last year's team at both quarterback and coordinator. And what we might be seeing as far as like you were saying in the BYU game, Joe Southwick, I get they were even saying he looks confused. He can't even seem to get the play call off. There's a lot of miscommunication that's going on a lot. And I was wondering, I mean, do you think that the turnover on the staff might be part of that?
I don't know. You know, it's just the turnover, I think, in general. I mean, it's one thing to replace an offensive coordinator and two or three starters. They're replacing the offensive coordinator and nine starters. They replaced everybody. I mean, the whole offense is new. So it could just be that. I think Michigan State and BYU are pretty good on defense. I mean, that's part of it. Because in between there, they did go out and score, 39 and with 500-something yards against Miami of Ohio. So those may be the kind of numbers they're going to put up the rest of the year against the weaker schedule. But they just don't. I mean, if you gave any Boise State team the last 10 years five turnovers like they got the other night, they're going to put up 40 points off of that. I mean, without a doubt. And this team put up none. I mean, just they got the one. I guess one turnover turned into points courtesy of the defense. The offense put up none, and that's just such a difference from what we've seen from them. I just don't think that is the same team that we've been accustomed to.
Louisiana Tech number one, Ohio at two, Boise State at three, Nevada at four. Now we're going to 5 and 6. Got Louisiana Monroe and Utah State. Louisiana Monroe, this is sort of the end of the line as far as the upsets and the excitement go. This is sort of when you get to see really what they've got, what the Warhawks have as they prepare to go into conference play. Utah State, if they are, like you noted, I was going to say, they have outscored opponents 51-0 in the first quarter. They haven't given up a touchdown in the first half. Utah State's getting out to these great leads, and if it wasn't for a missed field goal in Camp Randall, they're undefeated right now. Just sort of thoughts on those two teams.
Well, the Louisiana Monroe, like you said, I think has been the most exciting team in the country. They beat Arkansas in overtime on the road. They take Auburn to overtime. Almost pulled the upset there. They took Baylor right to the end of the game on Friday night, which is a game that I watched all the way through. And that's an interesting team. They're entertaining to watch. They do a lot of interesting things on offense. The other night they had a formation where they put both quarterbacks, one right-hander, one left-hander, in the shotgun at the same time, where they could snap it to either one of them. And they run zone reads and throw to the guy that they've handed off to. And so, I mean, it's just an interesting team. And I think, obviously, we're not going to really get to see any more of them. And because they did lose two of those three, as close as they came, they did lose to Auburn, they did lose to Baylor. The record is not there for them to be a top 25 team or anything. And they could win the rest of the way. Sometimes they could run the table and go 10-2. I think we're not really going to hear anything else from them. But they have had a pretty good run in September. So I think they definitely deserve some respect for what they've done so far. But then once you get into the Sun Belt has always been a very random conference where, pretty much anything can happen from week to week. So who knows?
What about Utah State?
Utah State, I think they've been solid. What have they done besides almost beating Wisconsin? They upset Utah. That's their other big win, and obviously they were better last year. I think Gary Anderson definitely deserves respect for what he's done with that program, because that was one of those schools, Utah State, where you could consistently put them in the bottom 10 in the country every year. I mean, and so they're going to win two games, three games. Now they're up. They went to a bowl game last year. They almost beat Auburn last year. They beat Utah this year. They almost beat Wisconsin. They, if not for a punt return, they dominated Wisconsin's offense. They also gave up a punt return in that game. So it was really a special teams letdown with a punt return and then the missed field goal at the end that would have won it. So that's obviously a solid program. I don't know if they can I think it definitely benefits them that Boise State and Nevada have left black. I mean, I think that they may be one upset. If they could beat Louisiana Tech, then they have a chance to win that conference.
We got Ball State and Central Florida. You got them at 7-8. Interesting fact about Ball State, their only loss is to Clemson. They've got wins over South Florida and Indiana, and so they're obviously taking on quality competition. They're currently 3-1, but they're also 4-0 against the spread. So not only are that they're pulling these upsets or they're covering the spreads, Ball State's pretty good. From what I've seen, I only got to tune in to a little bit of Clemson and obviously the South Florida upset. They sort of get thrown in with the rest of the mighty action of week four. And almost maybe like we might be overlooking them. What's your read on them?
Well, you know, I have not seen any of Ball State. You know, all I know is what they've done based on their schedule. Like you said, they beat South Florida, which is a big win because South Florida, you know, was up there to challenge for the Big East. So that's a big win for Ball State. I think any time that they beat Indiana, even though I think Ball State is used to beating Indiana, that's a big win for them just within the state. And they're, I think, right alongside Ohio. I think they're probably the team that has the best chance to beat Ohio in the MAC and stop Ohio's run. I think they're in the same. They're both in the East Division, right? Ball State and Ohio. So you know that game could come down to decide that division and who plays in the MAC championship.
And we were talking this next thing. You've got Ball State at 7, Central Florida at 8, and we were talking just before we started recording. I mean, this has got to be. So, and I don't have anything in front of me, but this has got to be some kind of historically bad start for Conference USA because no matter what way you cut it, they are really near one of the bottom of all the other 11 FBS conferences as far as their record in non-conference, their record against other FBS non-conference teams. So you know, you can toss out all the cupcakes that some of the bigger schools play. They still are 11th out of 11. And they don't have any teams in the top 25. They're just a really bad conference so far. And I guess Central Florida is the only at 3-1 is one of the only like bright spots. I guess you could call it bright.
Well, you know, they were competitive at Ohio State. They lost by 2 touchdowns there. That's their only loss so far. They haven't really beaten anyone of note. I think one of their wins is over Florida International. The other, I think, was an FCS team. So that you know, that's about all you can say about it. You know, Central Florida was supposed to win the division. So far, they look like they're probably the best bet, but only because the rest of the division looks so bad. I mean, Southern Miss, which won it last year, and my alma mater, is off to the worst start that they've had in 35 years, 0-3. You know, it's one thing to lose to Nebraska, but getting blown out by Western Kentucky, I mean, it's just embarrassing. I mean, the loss on Saturday was one of the worst that Southern Miss has had in a lot of years. They're 0-3 for the first time in 36 years. Their next three games are against Louisville, Boise State, and then Central Florida. All of whom are favored to win their conferences. So it looks like an 0-6 start, and it looks like Southern Miss is heading for its first losing season since 93. The other team that that played for the Conference USA Championship last year is Houston, who's also off to an 0-3 start. They were so bad in their first game that they fired the offensive coordinator, who was in his first year, so he lasted one game there. They've lost their next two. They were off this past week, but prior to that, they were blown out at UCLA. Starting quarterbacks had 5 interceptions in that game. So Houston is off to a terrible start. Memphis hasn't won a game. UAB hasn't won a game. Tulane hasn't won a game, which those schools have not been good for years. I mean, you know, Conference USA has nothing to hang its hat on. SMU goes out and gets blown out by Baylor, and it's the only game that it's really played so far. Tulsa lost to Iowa State in the only game that it's played. You know, the only game against, you know, a quality, notable competition. I mean, so there's not really anything to say about Conference USA right now. You know, when they start playing each other, you know, somebody has to win.
Well, that's like one of the great things about these, you know, there are a lot of teams that aren't playing as well now, and then they're going to start playing other teams that they're used to seeing, teams that they've got a lot of film on. They can plan for better and scheme for better, and then we'll automatically assume that maybe the team is better, when in reality it might just be that they're playing other similar teams. Like, these Conference USA teams might not get better. They just are going to start winning more because somebody has to lose. Now, I want to ask you, are you giving Southern Miss zero chance to pull the upset on Louisville at home at night in a game that's on television? I mean, I mentioned it today on College Football 360 as sort of the, you know, looking at the Big East slate. I didn't see a ton of really notable games, but figured that, you know, if Louisville's looking ahead to conference play because they play Southern Miss, then they've got a week off. If they're looking ahead to this week off, they could be looking right past Southern Miss. And they've got, I mean, this is still, I mean, like you said, this is a team that won the conference last year. And it's not a complete turnover of the roster. So you're telling me that there is zero chance that Southern Miss pulls the upset on Saturday night?
No, I don't think there's zero chance. And I have to say, I mean, if there is any game on the schedule that I want Southern Miss to win, it would be Louisville, just because of when I went there. You know, they were rivals. They were conference rivals with each other, and they've been historical rivals when they were independents. You know, historically, those two programs are very equal, and they've had a lot of, they've had a lot of great games over the years. They had a Brett Favre Hail Mary game that Southern Miss won when I was there in the early part of the last decade. Louisville won three straight in increasingly devastating fashion. So I would love Southern Miss to beat Louisville, but you know, there's nothing that indicates that that is going to happen so far. You know, last year, maybe Southern Miss might have had a better team last year. This year, they haven't done anything so far that indicates they're good enough to beat Louisville, who is, off to a 4-0 start and looking like they're supposed to look.
Rounding out your top 10, you got Western Kentucky at 9. Willie Taggart, Bruce Feldman identified him today as one of the one of the hottest coaches in college football. And San Jose State rounding out the top 10 at 3-1. Western Kentucky 3-1 as well. Let's go ahead and start with the Hilltoppers. I mean, that's a team that it seemed to be, like we were talking about Utah State earlier, just like an afterthought. Not a joke, but you just assume they're going to be a bottom 10, bottom 20 team. Now, all of a sudden, they knock off Kentucky. They come out with a win over Southern Miss, just like you said. What's your read there? Are you going to give them a shot at winning the Sun Belt?
Yeah, I think you have to. They've only been an FBS program for, 4 years? I mean, I think 2009 maybe was their first year. They went 0-12 their first year, fired the coach. You know, it was just like, well, you know, Western Kentucky's the worst team. You know, within 2 years, last year they have a winning record. Should have been in a bowl game last year with as many bowl games as there are. Somehow they were left out. This year they're 3-1. They beat Kentucky in overtime after nearly beating Kentucky last year. Crushed Southern Miss, which is a team historically that Southern Miss definitely should not lose to. I mean, that program has definitely come a long way in a very short time, I think, with Willie Taggart, to the point where they can compete in the Sun Belt. UL Monroe has to be the favorite in the Sun Belt based on the start. And Arkansas State, I think, has quite a tougher schedule. So they've lost to Nebraska and Oregon, and so they don't look as good right now just because of the teams that they've played. I think UL Monroe and Arkansas State are probably the front runners in that league, but there's no reason that Western Kentucky can't compete there. And San Jose State, what I'll say about San Jose State is that they played Stanford at least as tough as USC did.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's absolutely true. San Jose State, also another team that is 4-0 against the spread so far this season. So where would you say the status of the WAC is? Would you say that we obviously have said that Conference USA, you know, one of the worst conferences in the league, the WAC, a league that's not even going to exist next season for FBS football? You know, it's interesting to me that on their farewell tour, I mean, I've said that you've got the WAC, the MAC, and arguably both those two conferences from top to bottom, you know, kind of performing maybe even better than the Mountain West. Caliber's a little bit better in the Mountain West, but Fresno State, who I thought was going to be right up there with Nevada and Boise State's down. It's, you know, how do you see all of the non-BCS conferences sort of shaking out in the hierarchy right now?
I don't know that there's a whole lot of difference. I think the Mountain West for a few years was very, very clearly ahead when you had Utah, BYU, and TCU there. And I think that that's the biggest difference now in the mid-majors is the fact that those schools that did have a lot of consistent success have moved up. I mean, you don't have a BCS buster this year because the teams that did that, Utah, TCU, are now in the BCS conferences. So you really have Boise State is the only other team, the only other program that was really consistently in that category. They're down this year because of the turnover. So, you know, you really don't have another contender there. No one has really filled that gap. I think that the conferences are pretty equal. The Mountain West has to be just because of Boise getting Nevada there. You know, San Jose State, Fresno State, some of those programs are on a little bit more solid footing than, you know, the Sun Belt or the WAC. Or at this point, Conference USA. Conference USA, I think, historically has been pretty solid. This year, obviously, it's not. And it's going to be undergoing a lot of changes next year, too, when half of the league goes up to the Big East. You know, right now maybe the Mountain West is a little bit out in front. But WAC, I think, definitely has been surprisingly good. I mean, it seems like, you know, every WAC team should just go in and get their head handed to them. As, you know, that conference has just gone under completely. As you said, it's not even going to exist next year. But they, you know, they seem to be holding up fine. Now, the two teams that don't have landing places next year are not doing fine. Idaho, which has not won a game, and New Mexico State, which just lost to New Mexico to fall to 1-3. Those two teams really don't know what they're going to do next year. They're going to be independent, I guess. They don't have full schedules, though. So who knows if they're even going to be able to play a full schedule. They're not off to such good starts. But the teams that know where they're going next year and have landing spots are doing fine.
Do you think that affects I mean, obviously it affects recruiting once you get there and once those decisions are made, but is there any way, and I'm just speaking out loud, I'm not sure if I have an answer to this either, but it could have an effect on your current roster and your team. I mean, you act like it's not, like players maybe don't necessarily care about, you know, all the conference affiliations, but it obviously we've seen that it can matter in recruiting as far as you talk to these recruits and wanting to play for certain conferences and not in others. And, you know, then you've got like the video clips of when you're just beating Kentucky into the ground you know, they're supposed to be SEC. And I'm wondering if even just, you know, knowing that move is going to happen for some of these WAC teams, either to Conference USA or Mountain West, depending on who it is. I'm wondering if even just the excitement that might generate through the program, where it seems like you're moving in a direction. I don't know. It's, you know, at this point we're talking about minute things, but do you think that could play a role at all?
Well, I think that it just feeds into a sense that the program is just sort of going nowhere. I mean, I think that there's a little bit of a demoralization in it. I mean, if you're Idaho and you're playing in Idaho, which has historically not had any success and has not been very good to begin with, and then you start off 0-3, 0-4. They did almost beat Wyoming last week. They lost in overtime to Wyoming. But, you know, now you're 0-4 at Idaho, and you're, you know, you don't know where you're going to be playing next year. Nobody wants to take your school into their conference. It just kind of just feeds into, just a downward spiral. It's just that much harder to invest yourself in the program and put forth full effort and have enthusiasm in what you're doing, I think.
He is Matt Hinton. You can follow him on Twitter at Matt R. Hinton. Of course, you can find all of his work at the Eye on College Football blog and at SundayMorningQB.com. Matt, I really appreciate you for hopping back on the podcast.
Yeah, no problem. It was good.
Remember, you can find all the CBSSports.com college football podcasts on iTunes. You can go get them for free. You can find the Doddcast with Dennis Dodd. You can find the Weekend Picks panel. And you can find all sorts of other guests from CBSSports.com and elsewhere. Matt and plenty of the rest of the gang hop on and join me to break down all sorts of topics. So be sure to go there, check it out, and subscribe and we'll deliver the next one as soon as it's available. Thanks so much for tuning in.